Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. All you have to do is go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power Session. So today's guest is a creator, a founder. She is the CEO of CurlyCoilyTresses.com. And she was really inspired by an interesting event. She was at the salon and got a relaxer on her face. And I'm not going to tell her whole story. I want her to tell her story in her own words. But ladies and gentlemen who are listening, this is definitely an amazing woman who has seen a problem and came up with an amazing solution. And I want to introduce to some and present to others one of Oprah's top products for curly hair, Curly Coily Tresses, CEO and founder, Angela Fields. How are you today?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the introduction.
Oh, I'm so honored and happy that you are here with the SEO Queen on the SEO Queen Tech Show. So tell me about that moment, because, you know, I remember when I was in high school, I used to get the relaxer. And when I think it was my senior year, that was the last time I ever got a relaxer. So what was that like? Like, how did that inspire you to come up with your hair care line?
Well, you know, it was quite shocking when it happened. I just kind of jumped and I was stunned. But the cosmetologist had used her brush to scoop up some of the relaxer from the container and then to apply it to my hair. But she dropped it and somehow it stuck to the side of my face. And then when she was trying to get it off my face, she wound up spreading some of the relaxer around to the other side of my face. And I had this moment where, well, you know, it's just relaxer. I've been doing this for years. It'll be okay. And then she wiped it off. And then when it was time to move to the sink bowl, we used neutralizing shampoo over the area as well. But she didn't use the neutralizing over the complete area. And I still had a very bad reaction. So ultimately, after seeing a doctor and having to go through chemical burn therapy with Silvadine cream and bandages, the reality truly, truly set in of what's in this container. Something that I've had put on my hair for years since elementary school with some breaks in between. And now I am being faced with, this is a health situation. And Silvadine can't be exposed to sunlight. So when you're using it, you must hibernate inside your home. You put it on, you cover with bandages, and then you do that twice a day for treatment. And so going through those 2 weeks of treatment, it was just, I had all kinds of thoughts come into mind. What exactly are you doing? And why are you doing this? And it was, I knew that I needed to come to a different decision. And see, and even before that, I had done the press and comb and the jerry curls through most of my life. And decided to try relaxers. And initially it was a kitchen beautician that put a
Right.
relaxer on, and my hair promptly fell out. And I
Oh,
just said,
wow.
okay, she's not trained. She's not a licensed cosmetologist. And then years later, trying it again with a licensed cosmetologist and having pretty much the exact same result. And so at that point, I decided I didn't want to surrender my hair care to anyone else. I wanted to be responsible for it. So I started learning everything that I could possibly learn. And this is before the internet, but reading books, books in the library, books that I found, resources, magazines, whatever I could find, I read and I learned about hair care because I wanted to be the expert of my own hair care and not just surrender it to someone else. And so I'm at this crossroads. I decided it's time for me to transition to something else, transition to my natural hair. And really, that is how this story started, Z. That is how it started.
Wow, that's incredible. Like, I never really, when I was in high school and college, I never really delved deep into hair, but it was always something I was fascinated with. And as I've gotten older, I've read, books like Let's Talk Hair and 400 Years Without a Comb and so many more. I've seen the documentary that my good friend Regina Kimball, My Nappy Roots, she created that documentary. But what was that like during that time? No internet, there was no natural hair movement. So you're ahead of your time in that respect. So what was that like? What did you find? What encouraged you to go from like, I need to find an alternative styling process to, let me create my own product line?
Well, when I lost my hair to the relaxers, it was about let me go to the library, let me go to the bookstore, reading different magazine articles, trying to just piece everything together about what's the best option for me. But then after having it on my face and having to go through burn therapy, chemical burn therapy, this is the same type of burn therapy that someone that may have been burned because of an auto accident or a house fire of some sort. Having to go through that process on my face and looking at the bandages and then doing the creams twice daily, it was literally a wake-up call because my behavior had been these aren't really dangerous chemicals because you put them on your hair, they can't be dangerous. And now I'm looking at this on my face and I knew I needed to do something different. And over time, I was meeting different individuals who maybe never even had a relaxer. And they shared their experiences of how someone may have been making fun of them or mock their hair because so many women were in relaxers at that point in time. And so it was interesting hearing their take and then assessing my own fears of, well, I don't know what's underneath all this relaxer. When the relaxer comes out, what am I going to find? And I was just certain it was going to be some sort of bad hair. But I could not act as though I didn't know the products were dangerous at this point because I knew they were. I knew literally right in front of my face they were. And and I've had the chemical burns on my scalp before. So
Oh,
I've
wow.
been there and it feels like slices when washed and then it oozes and crusts over and it eventually heals all on its own. And that didn't happen for my face, which is why it
Right.
was a 2 week time frame between when it happened to when I actually needed to go see a doctor. Because I thought it would, and it did not for the face. Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's just like wow. I mean, it's kind of like, how we used to eat before we really learned about kale and spinach and I
Yes.
mean we've always eaten collard greens, but just understanding the importance of eating clean, cutting out pork is like our understanding of what's good and the rise of vegetarianism, all of this is happening along with the rise of the natural hair movement. So tell me a little bit more about that. When your apprehension like I don't know what my hair texture is like without a relaxer.
Right. And it's overwhelming. And you think, well, what am I going to do? I go to a corporate job every day. So I can't have just anything that I'm going to a corporate job with. I needed to look professional. And so even I had to have my own mindset shift, my own paradigm shift about what professional could be. And it can certainly be now. It's much easier to see it now, but in those years, it wasn't so easy to see it. But I really could not just say, I think it was just, it's perfectly fine because we use it every day. It's readily available in the marketplace and we can just go purchase what we need. So I really couldn't have that philosophy anymore. But in my learning, in the books and the magazines and the articles, everything that I could, even when there may have been segments on different shows on television, watching those, listening, taking notes. So at this point in time, I learned a lot about ingredients and I learned how to research ingredients and I learned how to find out how is this ingredient made? How does it go from where it was? Is it entirely chemical and made in a lab? Or did it exist in nature first and it's been modified to some extent and now it's in your hair care product? So I started reading labels, labels and documenting the research of what I was finding. Mm-hmm. And so now when you're fast forward to my hair is so dry, I'm not quite sure what is going to moisturize it. But on top of that, having all of the allergies that I have, mm-hmm. And when I started searching in the U.S., 96 to 98% of all U.S. hair care is fragranced. And so I tapped into the remaining portion that I was able to purchase, and it didn't do anything for my hair. So I started shopping in Europe, started shopping in the United Kingdom, and I found better product options, but I wasn't completely satisfied. And, you know, and at that point, when I think about over the years of having researched ingredients and researching hair care, mm-hmm. I already knew what I needed.
Right.
I just kept thinking I would find it in the marketplace. But when I didn't, then I just started buying raw ingredients and making products right in my kitchen. And I document and I measure and then I sample and try. And if it didn't work out, I try something else. And maybe it was just remixing the ingredients I had, or maybe I was buying new ingredients and mixing. And then I hit upon something that worked very well for me. And was content doing that in my kitchen for the next year,
So explain that process. So you're doing the research, you're shopping literally all over the world to find a solution. And you finally come up with a concoction that works for you. And what did that feel like? What was that aha moment like?
It was amazing. Because at first I'm thinking, well, for something to work, it has to be something that I purchase. It can't be something that I can do on my own. And I had done this on my own based on the years of researching back from when I was in elementary and junior high school after having lost my hair to relaxers, coming full circle to all of this work that I had done. And, you know, and Z, when I started, I wasn't thinking a natural hair care brand. I wasn't thinking a hair care brand, period. Mm-hmm. I was trying to address the problem that I was having.
Right.
And this is how it manifested, all this research and now bringing it all together into products. It was like I had to sit back and just let that just soak in. And it was like, damn, I did this.
That's incredible. It's like you created something that didn't exist in the marketplace. That's incredible. And so, I mean, you and I, we were talking before this interview. We talked about how, you know, for 4C hair, a good rule of thumb is two bottles of conditioner for one bottle of shampoo.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, you know, you found this concoction. Like, how did you develop your routine on how to use it effectively?
It was definitely going through trial and error as well. So once I would focus on the ingredients that I thought would be the best for hair care. When I look at the where they came from, what were the components of the ingredients, what maybe they're known for. So that's how I would pick and choose which ingredients I started with and bringing them all together. And then I just started using them on my hair. And then I would just monitor for changes, monitor for how my hair is performing, how it feels. Does it feel like it's going to be dry and break off? Does it feel soft and luscious? And so I was documenting all of these things. So now I'm doing my own version of consumer studies at this point, But I had these spreadsheets for documenting the look and feel and the outcome, and then checking it again in a day, in 2 days, in a week, in a month, you know, going back and then updating all these different things that I was tracking just to see how. And so, you know, before I knew it, a year had passed that I had been doing this. And so when I find out, okay, for the first month, it did really good. But, you know, when I got into that second month, not so much. Okay, well, let me take a look at some of these other ingredients that I'm aware of, that I know how they work, and incorporate those into the formula. And then let's see how the outcome changes. So yes, doing the own studies, own consumer studies right there in my kitchen and documenting, and then pivoting, and then coming back with something different. And then even when I felt like I had the right formula, now I wanted to just try different things with my hair. Does it make a difference if I put the product on wet hair versus dry hair? Does it make a difference if I'm putting on my dry hair every night before going to bed? So I tried all of these various scenarios that I had planned out to see what works the best. And I hit upon the optimal formula with the right ingredients, with the right products, then the best time for it to make the lasting difference in the hair. And so I'm good. I'm doing this for a year where I'm just using the same products that, because I found that they worked, and I'm just continuing to use those same products. And then, you know, and that's when life changed. I was laid off from my corporate job. And this is after 26 years in corporate America.
Oh, wow.
Split between two different companies. And now I'm unemployed, and it's like, okay, all right, what am I going to do next? Well, I didn't panic. You know, I didn't panic. I just kind of started thinking, do I want to change industries? Do I want to do something different? And I hadn't made any decisions. And then I'm back in the kitchen making some additional products. And that's when it hit me. You know, you've been on this journey for a very long time. And maybe it's time to launch a hair care brand. Some of my friends, some of my cousins have been telling me, I think you should sell these products. And I kept telling them during this time period when I was working on it, you know what? I've got a full-time job. I'm really not interested in selling hair care. Really not interested in it. And then it hit me that this is what I was going to do next. Just bring forward all this information, the testing, the research, all of these things, just bring it forward from, okay, you've been through it. You've lost your hair to relaxers. You've had a chemical face burn from relaxers. There's got to be something better out there. And now you've created it in your kitchen. It works. You've proven it on yourself. Well, then I started passing the formula out to different friends, different relatives, having them try the products and give me feedback. And
have them try it on their hair.
Exactly. Exactly. And I gave it to a mix of individuals, some that still had relaxed hair, some that had natural hair, and some that had different types of locks. You know, even gave the products to them because I just wanted to see it on other textures, not just my own.
I love how methodical you were with the testing and gathering the data. I love that.
I have always been a detailed person, and I like to be able to see, you know, all those decision points in one place. Okay. Science and logic got me here, got me up to this point. And I have about four different hair textures on my own head, you know, so I have 4C in the crown. I have 3C across the top in the sides, and then in the very back, probably more like a 3B in there. And different sections of my hair have greater levels of shrinkage when I'm doing like washing clothes or natural styles. And I needed a product that was going to flow between all those different types, because I could not in good faith tell someone, well, you've got a mix of textures, so you need this one brand for this section of your hair, and you need this other brand for this other section of your hair. So that was important to me, to have a product that would work well throughout the entirety of my hair, as it would others as well. So yes.
That's awesome. So I want to ask you, like, how did you, discover pumpkin seed oil for hair? Because, you know, there's a lot of oils out there. There's carrot oil, jojoba oil, eucalyptus oil, so many different types of oils for hair. But what drew you to pumpkin seed oil? to include that in your hair care line.
Yes. In doing the research of the various different types of oils, I wanted to see what are the components. Are they high in fatty acids, antioxidants? Are they strong in vitamins and minerals? And then looking at hair, what does hair need? What are the important aspects for hair? And healthy hair needs many, many things, an entire mix of things. But what I really liked about pumpkin seed oil is the phytosterols. The phytosterols are the secret to helping your hair to grow, to encouraging that growth. And pumpkin seed oil is one of the highest oils. It is very nutrient dense, but it is very high in phytosterols. So it is a critical oil when you are seeking to encourage a healthy head of hair as far as healthy growth. It's just very important from that perspective. Yes.
Wow. So what is that called again? It's called fetal.
Yes, it is called phytosterols. So phytosterols.
Wow, that's amazing.
So yes, it is one of the highest.
Yeah, because I mean, what did your research find about argan oil? I mean, there's a lot of oils that have been touted over the years, but pumpkin seed oil is something that I think is really amazing that your research has discovered this. So
yes, and you're right. There are many amazing oils, and I have purchased, so I have researched, then purchased, and then used in different capacities the various oils. And argan oil is an amazing oil, but it has, when you have finer hair textures, argan oil can be a bit heavy for finer hair textures. And so I have dense hair, meaning I have a lot of hair follicles per square inch of my scalp, but my actual hair texture is a finer texture. And argan would be a bit heavy for me. It's kind of like castor oil would be a bit heavy for a finer hair texture.
Yeah, castor oil is really heavy. It's really,
yes,
really heavy. Absolutely.
And so if you have a coarser hair texture, argan oil could work very well for you, just like castor oil could work very well for you if you have a heavier, a coarser hair texture. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for the oils that would be of benefit to individuals with finer or coarser hair textures, and then all those in between, and stay with those particular types of oils, but also looking at a balance between the antioxidant profile, the fatty acid profile, vitamins and minerals, all those types of things, and picking the oils that would work best. And pumpkin just stood out, which is why it is an oil serum that I have. It is not included as an ingredient in the other products, but I just sell it as 100% pure organic pumpkin seed oil as far as my product mix. And it's strongly because of those phytosterols that are in it.
Wow, that's amazing. So pumpkin seed oil has phytosterol. So my next question to you is, like, once you tested everything with your, you got the feedback from your family members, you shared the formulation with them, you were happy with the results you were getting on your hair. What was the packaging process like?
Okay. Yes. The packaging process for the oil, I needed a bottle or a container. I preferred glass for the oil, but I also wanted a container that would be dark in color to protect the oil from light. Because if you're exposing a lot of these oils in butters as well to light, to sunlight, over time, they become less effective. Their ability to do the wonderful things you want them to do becomes compromised by the exposure to light. So I needed it to be in a container that would protect it from light. So ultimately I chose an amber brown glass bottle to package my oil in. And so there are other options definitely that are available now that could be used, but that is how I came to the packaging for the oil. Now, as far as the packaging for my other products, for the Enrich Leave-In Moisturizer and the Nourish Treatment Deep Conditioner, I needed something functional and that would be safe in the shower, because you're thinking about, they're going to be using these probably in their bathtub and you don't want them to drop the container and then have a broken glass situation on the floor of their tub or their shower. And so that's kind of why plastic was chosen for the other two products, because they're most likely used in the shower. The oil could be used as a hot oil treatment. It could be used on top of the moisturizer to help seal the moisture into the hair. So it is less likely going to be a product that's actually in the shower. So I felt comfortable using a glass bottle for that particular oil. But that is the real reason. You just want to protect those oils. It is just very important to protect the oils from any type of sunlight, and it helps to extend their shelf life as well.
That's awesome. So once you got your packaging down, and you know that makes a lot of sense, what you just explained, how did you roll your product out to the market? How did you spread the word? Did you seek out coverage in the press? Did you do social media? Like, describe exactly what your thought process was with your digital marketing for your product line.
Right. Very good question there. And what is interesting to note is I didn't know everything I needed to know to actually launch the brand. So I had put all this research and effort into the actual products and the chosen ingredients, but it was almost kind of like, if you build it, they will come. And that's not how it happens. That's not how it works. So once the brand was in the marketplace is when I realized I needed to do more. I needed to know more to be able to launch and share this brand with other individuals. And so I started seeking out resources and working with individuals that could help me to position the products better in the marketplace, because this is where SEO comes in. This is where doing the right things in social media comes in. This is the right partnerships. And so I started working with Melody Bockelman with Private Label Insider to help in spreading the word, if you will, of the brand. But my philosophy was, if I bring this amazing thing to market, it's going to sell, because they're going to look at the research that I did and the attention to detail placed in each of the ingredients and why the ingredients were there. And the individuals are going to love the products just as much as I love them. And that's not exactly how it works. So there is a lot more involved in the actual marketing and the scaling of the brand. And so I received assistance in identifying the right manufacturers, in identifying the right warehouses to do fulfillment with, and then packaging and labels, lids, all those types of containers and whatnot. And so I would divide those types of things probably into four different categories. So it was like the things that are more product specific, talking about manufacturing, fulfillment, packaging and labels, and then working with chemists if needed. Is there anything else that needs to be changed in the formulation to make it even more effective? But there were also some aspects that were launch specific, like social media, newsletters, marketing. And then when you're talking about scaling, looking at your organic reach, your borrowed reach, you know, paid traffic as well. And then those are and then finally, that last category is customer specific, messaging and audience. And so the areas that I needed the help in was SEO, clearly, was in how are you positioning the brand? What types of posts to social media, newsletters that need to be going out and the frequency of such. And then what is very, very key is messaging and then reaching your target audience, the people most likely to benefit from the products that you have brought to market. And so that is the expertise that I learned much later on after having launched, after meeting Melody Bockelman and then joining her group, Private Label Insider, working with her for those options on scaling. And now with you, with SEO and understanding just the value it has, even in the beauty space.
Right. So, you know, I say this all the time, that search engine optimization is useful in every single product service industry. And I know you had received some advice of saying otherwise. And I think it's just remarkable, like the impact of your story in the media. Can you share a little bit about how you were able to get so much earned media coverage?
Yes. I mean, it was really a part-time job in and of itself to do that. So I'll speak to Oprah Magazine. I wanted to I wanted to get my products in Oprah's hands, and I started devising my strategy. I felt like being able to get direct contact with Oprah herself would be very difficult. So I instead chose to go through her her global beauty director, Adam Glassman. Little did I didn't even remember that I was Facebook friends with Adam from years before when I was still in corporate America. I asked him a question about something that was in Oprah's magazine, and he replied and then friended me on Facebook. And I thought, you know what? You never know, you know? But I started reaching out to Adam. I found his email, started reaching out to him, sharing with him about my brand. I would respond maybe once a month and add some additional information to share about the brand. And then on this particular month, I was sharing with him that I was going to be at a trade show in Las Vegas and that I would be speaking at another trade show coming up in Orlando. He replied with an address and a phone number and said, feel free to submit products for consideration. And I'm like, I'm on it. I mean, I am on it and I'm screaming and I'm getting all the products packaged and shipped off to him. And when the article actually hit, I noticed in my Google Analytics that I was getting a lot of traffic from Oprah Magazine. And I'm like, what's this about? What's this about? And then I go to the URL that I'm seeing in Google Analytics, and lo and behold, there's my product, Nourish Treatment, being recommended in the top 19 for 4C hair. And I am running up and down the halls in my apartment, screaming, losing my mind that this had actually happened for me. And so it was work that I had done. And so in addition to that, there were other individuals that I felt would be a great strategy for me to be able to reach. And I started reaching out to them. Maybe it was over LinkedIn. Maybe it was through emails. Maybe it was through social media posts, but I just kept reaching out. You know, you don't want to reach out too frequently because I'm sure they would be concerned that there may be something wrong with this person for doing this, but you want to reach out at the right amount of time and you want to be able to share additional information, maybe some goals that you have met. And share that and then and allow them to respond back to you. And so I have since been published in Naturally Curly. There have been several times that I've been published in Naturally Curly. There is Commentary in Beauty Independent. Again, arrived at the same way with the Beauty Independent. I'm Facebook friends with Rachel Brown, the editor. And so I am in contact with her on an ongoing basis, just sharing information about the brand, you know, what we've accomplished, where we're headed next. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that you build upon and you keep going. So you keep setting goals for, I think I would like to have some information in this particular publication about the brand. Let me start reaching out to them. Or maybe I would like my products to be available for sale. So maybe like a Black and Green when you look at their story. So that is how I launched in Black and Green. And there's some others that I'm having conversations with as well.
That's just awesome, Angela. That's awesome. So, you know, how can people connect with you on your website? Can you describe like your product line? And yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, I am available. The products are available on my website, curlycoilytresses.com. Again, that's curlycoilytresses.com. I'm in social media with the same handles across Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest with the same handle, curlycoilytresses.com. Excuse me, curlycoilytresses. And then also anyone wanting to reach out to me, you can do so at my email address, angela@curlycoilytresses.com as well. So very visible there. The easiest ways to reach me if our social is concerned. Absolutely. And I'm, you know, actually I'm also on Clubhouse as well. Generally there I'm found as Angela Fields on Clubhouse. So I've forgotten to mention that one. So absolutely.
Okay. That's awesome. I bet you have some great conversations about hair on Clubhouse.
Absolutely, because I may be speaking in a particular event or venue and then receiving messages from someone. Well, what, you know, what about this situation? And what about this where I'm experiencing this? What do you suggest?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yes. So, I mean, Angela, you are so knowledgeable of hair and you put so much thought into it. And your hair care products, they exceed the European standard for products.
Yes, yes, they do.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, you know, Black women are more than likely to be the target of ads and products that are have dangerous ingredients in them, more likely to be the target. And you know, that's just not acceptable to have ingredients of that type of nature being you know, are the ones that being put forth to you. You want products that are safe. You want products that are helpful. You want products that are healthy and made with maybe in some cases the same types of foods that we eat. And so
Right.
when you're hearing the numbers that 70% of the products marketed to Black women contain dangerous ingredients, it's kind of scary, you know, because
That is kind
we're
of
using
scary.
these products. Yes, exactly.
What kind of ingredients are dangerous? I'm sure
Well,
our listeners want to know what should they be avoiding.
They should be avoiding parabens. So that is something they want to avoid. They want to avoid something called phthalates as well. That is also something else they want to avoid. Then there are some harmful preservatives there that are available that you will see in products. And it could be finexanol, it could be formaldehyde. You can also talk through there are some drying alcohols that you want to avoid. And so that could be ethanol, isopropyl alcohol, benzyl alcohol. So you want to be mindful of that. If you are someone with sensitive skin and you have reactions, then maybe you want to avoid dyes. You also want to avoid anything that has even PPD in it, paraphenylendiamine, which is a dark dye, and you can come into contact with it. Maybe it's used in a dye on your hair or in hair care products, and you can wind up with a blistered face and your eyes swollen shut.
Oh my
So
gosh,
there
that's
are, yeah,
horrible.
exactly. So these items are, you can search and find products, many products with these dangerous type ingredients in them. And you know, and if you have really sensitive skin, you have maybe you have some type of asthma, then you should also be avoiding fragrances. And it could be the essential oils, it could be fragrance oils, or it could be the synthetic fragrances that are made in a lab, that are manufactured in a lab. So these
Right.
are all types of things that are dangerous and you need to avoid. You can, formaldehyde is a very strong preservative, hence it is used as far as preserving bodies when someone may be when someone is going to be in a funeral. And so it's made to help preserve the body for the funeral.
Right,
But
right.
when you see type things like this in ingredients and understand
Hair
there are
products,
multiple,
that's not a good thing.
that's right. And there are multiple words that are all the same name for formaldehyde. So you may physically look at the label and not identify it, but this is where I encourage you. I encourage you to get comfortable reading ingredient labels, knowing what's in these products, and knowing if it's truly, truly safe for your family, you know, and for yourself.
Right,
So
right.
when I was looking at ingredients, I did not want anything to do with these dangerous ingredients. And I didn't really know about the European standard at that time. I was just doing the research and trying to avoid things that I felt were unsafe. And then later finding out that as I was having my products tested, I wanted the products to be tested for efficacy, the products to be tested for shelf life to make sure that I had the right mix of ingredients with some of the preservatives that I was using. That's when I started finding out about the European standard and how much different it is from the American standard. So in the US, there are about 14 ingredients that simply cannot be in personal care products. But when you look at the European standard, it's 1,400 ingredients that cannot be in personal care products. And
Wow.
so after I learned about it, I'm like, well, I may need to reformulate so I can meet their standards. And then as I learned their standards, I was like, wow, ironically, my products meet their standards, even though I was not aware of them when I was creating them and thinking about the ingredients I wanted to have in them. So
Wow,
safety
that's
is very important.
amazing.
It is. It
Crazy.
truly, truly is. And that was another one of those times, Z, when I sat back on the couch and said, damn, I did that. I did that, not
Right, you are
even knowing.
really
Not even.
good.
Yes. And so that's where I have been recognized by Skin Safe, because of the ingredients. The campaign for The Campaign for Safe Cosmetics has recognized me on their first ever list that they published of Black-owned brands, Black-owned beauty brands that meet their criteria. And then there's also Clean Beauty for Black Girls. Also, that is another organization that has recognized my products because of the nature. When you get down to the oils and butters in my products, most of them are food grade. They started out as food grade. They're used in hair care and they are no longer an item that can be eaten. I'm certainly not saying that, but when it started out, the oils and the butters that I'm using are food grade because I wanted premium ingredients in my premium products.
Even your avocado oil is food grade?
Yes, the avocado oil, the coconut oil. Let's see here, some of the other oils that were that are food grade that are in them. So it's the avocado oil, the coconut oil. Let's see, the there's also babassu oil and kupuasu butter, but those are not edible oils. But the macadamia oil is food grade and the sweet almond oil is food grade. Oh, and then, of course, the olive oil is food grade. So, yes. Yes. So when you look at the various types, the kupuasu and the babassu are the only two oils that were in oils of the oils and butters that are not food grade as they were manufactured. But again, the products are not treated as something to be eaten. So it is certainly not something you should be doing.
Correct.
And then also the organic pumpkin seed oil serum is a food grade oil as well when it was initially purchased. So, I mean, so these are products that were purchased from manufacturers that actually restaurants could purchase from because these oils are indeed food grade when the product started. And so when you look at my price points, I am definitely more expensive than some of the things that you could find on many of the things you could find on the shelf in beauty supply stores or in grocery type stores. But it was a decision point that I wanted quality over quantity when the products were being developed.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, I love the fact that you have the satin pillowcases and bonnets as well on your product, in your product line. I think, you know, I don't sleep on anything but a satin pillowcase once I learned about the benefits, and it definitely has been helpful for my hair growth. But I definitely encourage the listeners to connect with curlycoilytresses.com. All of our social media is linked on the website. So if you go to curlycoilytresses.com, you can then go to her Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Pinterest. You can connect with her all on all the social media handles. I definitely encourage you to take a look at this product line, the Curl Envy, the Curl Confidence. Hair care systems are definitely great for curly hair, and award-winning from O Magazine. So that's amazing.
Yes, it is.
That's amazing. So Angela, before we close, do you have any shout outs that you'd like to make before we end the conversation?
I am so appreciative to you with the help that you were guiding me on with SEO and getting things lined up and really taking the brand to the next level. Very much looking forward to that. And thank you so much for inviting me on as a guest.
Oh, you're so welcome, Angela. Thank you so much. And you guys have been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening, you can check out SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power session. And before I forget, we're doing another 5-day Reach More Quality Clients Organically online sprint starting on January 2nd. So go to SEOQueen.com and click on register and claim your free spot. today. And without further ado, I want to thank you all so much for rocking with the SEO Queen Tech Show. You guys mean so much. I don't take any of the listeners for granted. Definitely am working hard to bring you some great content. And if you have any feedback whatsoever, if you're listening on the Bashani Radio app, just hit that feedback button and send me what's on your mind. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. The traffic is going to explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. The traffic is going to explode. It's time to grow.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.